Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Luke chapter 10, verse 25. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm just reading half that verse. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. You know, I read that. I've read this verse and verses like this, numerous times. Only God knows how many times I've actually read that. And for the first time in my Christian life, that phrase got my attention. I mean, not that I haven't noticed that, an expert of the law got up, tested Jesus. Well, what did he test him about? And I stopped after that and felt like the Lord just spoke to me and said, I included that in my word because I want us to grab something. I want you to grab something and understand that there are those who think we are really good at some area of life. And remember, where do we get our expertise from? Who gave them to us? You can answer. I'm not setting you up here. I mean, the answer is Jesus. Okay, it sounds like it should be God, but yes, it is God. So who gave you your expertise? Who gave it to you? This is not a rhetorical question. Oh, man. You guys are doing so good to this point. God gave us the expertise that we have. And some of you think, well, I can't answer that. I don't have any expertise. Well, hopefully your expertise is not griping, because that did not come from him. But you have expertise. You have giftings. Some of them we discover. Some of them we've just kind of always done it. We thought that's who we are, and it was no big deal. But the people around us sure appreciate your expertise, your helps, your kindness, your baking. I want you to know, not all baking is equal. Just because you bake does not mean you are gifted. Some have expertise in it. Listen, God has given us expertise, but this person who is an expert in the law, now the laws of God, the laws of Moses, they were an expert. That means they knew the history of the law. They knew where it came from, how it came about. They knew the consequences of breaking the law. They knew what the law stated. They knew how they carried out the law. They were an expert in the law. And they stood up. That was not a squeak. That was just... They stood up to test Jesus. Now, just pause for a moment and grasp that. I mean, those of you who are followers of Christ in this room, you're thinking, oh, come on. This is Jesus. You don't test Jesus. I mean, this is the Son of God. This is the Father wrapped up in humanity. This is the man whose God's Spirit rests upon without limit. And who do you think you are to stand up and test him? And yet, as we look and we think those things, could we possibly be like that man? I mean, let's get real clear here. We are not to test the Lord. The scripture says that we can test him in one area. He says, he invites it, in fact. He says, test me in this. Test me in this one thing. Test me. Do you know what that is? It's in Malachi chapter 3. And it has to do with tithing. That means giving 10% of your income. 10% of your income to God. Doesn't mean you have to limit it. That's just your tithe. All the extra alms and giving to the poor and giving to missions and all the other things we do and giving to the Breast Cancer Society and giving to all, you know, whatever you want to do in charitable giving. That's all outside, including missions, is all outside of the 10% tithe. This message is not about tithing. But that is the one thing that God said, you can test me in this, and if you tithe, see if I will not bless you like this. And you can look in Malachi chapter 3. I'm not going to quote it all and go over it all. You can look for it on your own. Malachi chapter 3. That is the one thing that God invites, says, okay, go ahead. You can test me in this. But this expert of the law, you know, it's interesting that when we feel really good about what we know, or we feel really good about who we might be that day, or we're feeling really good about our expertise, and we forget who it came from, and we allow it to puff us up, or we maybe not are experts in some way, but you have to understand, when we become an expert in something, we tend to get very comfortable and we begin to assume that we know a lot of things. In fact, it even leads us to the point that we feel that we know a lot of things outside of our expertise. And so we think we're an expert in one area. That means we know a lot in a lot of areas. And I want you to know something. That's just not true. And sometimes because we're an expert in one area, we take the trap because people come to us and we're an expert in one area. They ask us about our opinion in other areas like we're an expert in that area. And we are so glad to give it. And so we take the bait like we're an expert there too. Is it possible that we can become like this man and test God? Oh, it's not about the question he asked, like how do we inherit eternal life? Because that expert of the law felt pretty good about himself. And so they had a dialogue, and Jesus tells a story, and it goes on through that chapter. But I want us to, it's not just about the particular question he tests Jesus in. It's about having something at work in us, some motive, some attitude that we think that we can test God. That we can show up and, you know, push God on an issue. Or if God is calling us to do something, that we can kind of put it off like, hey, I've walked with the Lord a long time. That's just not for me. I don't need to do that. And we start to go down this road like we are some expert Christian. Is it possible that that motive or that attitude can creep into us? Generally not a new believer, but those who have been around for a while. And maybe they're not even Christians. They've just been hanging around Christians, hanging around the church, volunteering. You know, they're just kind of hanging around the cross. They never really followed Jesus and got on their own. Experts of the law, they test Jesus. They begin to make judgments about themselves. They make judgments about other people. You'll find out in the dialogue that as Jesus answers him, the expert of the law takes it one step further so that he could justify himself. Now, this is where I want us to really look at ourselves. We look at this man and think, dude, you are going to get shown up. You are testing Jesus. There is no way you're going to come out on top on this. We know that. And yet, could we be like that man? I mean, are we looking to justify ourselves over something that God is speaking to us about or calling us to do or calling us to become? And we look to explain our way out of it and justify ourselves. That's testing God. That's pushing God on this issue. That's saying, hey, listen, you might just have this wrong. I'm one of yours. I'm the good guy. I'm, remember? I'm okay with you, and I'm one of your favorites. I know. Shh. It's testing him. It's justifying ourselves. And when we get into that mode, it quickly bleeds over into how we look at other people. We are supposed to judge people. You can say what you want about us. Oh, we're not supposed to judge. We're not supposed to judge. No, we're supposed to judge. It's just that we're going to get judged by the same measure we judge other people. And people are supposed to judge so they can tell what kind of fruit is in our life. Okay? It's just that we are not to call, we're not to be looking at ourselves as we are the judge. Or make judgment with a judgmental critical spirit. All that's it's being logged. It's being taken care of. And that same judgment will be used on us. Because remember this, that mercy triumphs over what? Mercy triumphs over judgment. Look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We'll go to verse 12. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law. By the law. Get the connection now to go into Luke. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. But mercy triumphs over judgment. What we're talking about this morning is allowing a religious attitude and spirit to creep into our life. That's what we're looking at. When we feel like we can justify ourselves to God, that I want you to know that's religion. That reeks of religion. It reeks of it. Because religion has to do with how good we are and that God approves of us. It's not faith-based. It's not relationship and faith-based. It is rule-based. There are laws, and we're supposed to obey them. But that obedience comes out of faith. It's faith that leads us to obey, not obeying so that we can get in and say, hey, we got a pretty good record. We are saved by God's grace through faith. Not that any of us could boast, but it is based upon the work of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul writes in a variety of places. Makes it very blatant in the letter of Ephesians. We have to be careful that a religious spirit does not creep into us. That'll put a whoa to the Spirit's move in our life. In the church. That grieves him. Jesus came to set the oppressed free. The experts of the law, they burdened the people, continued to oppress them. And some of those who were oppressed were really looking to try to get into heaven. But they wouldn't allow them to find the religious people wouldn't allow them to find the way. And the religious people thought they had it all together. You can look through these passages in Luke, and I'm not going to read them all for the sake of time. But Jesus, you know, he goes to the temple to teach, and a man is there with a shriveled hand. And it says that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, teachers, the experts of the law, the teachers of the law, they were there waiting to see if Jesus would heal this man on the Sabbath. Because, you know, the Sabbath, the law says, no work. No work. And Jesus, as he sees the crowd and he identifies who the teachers of the law are, the experts, the attitude of the crowd, the regular common folk, and the man with the shriveled hand. He calls the man. Stand up. He calls him out. I mean, at this point, the Pharisees and religious leaders are thinking, we got him now. See, judgment and a religious spirit and trying to justify yourself and make yourself look good will cause you to miss the importance of who God is and what he's really about. Because Jesus stands up and says this, is it better to give life or death on the Sabbath? Is it better to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath? Well, everybody knows, hey, it's you're supposed to do what's right. Doesn't matter what day it is. And so Jesus says, stretch out your hand, and a man's hand is healed. It was on the Sabbath. And Jesus says, hey, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. He didn't do it in arrogance. He just said, hey, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I was there in the beginning of creation. The Father and I and the Holy Spirit, we made Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I know what the Sabbath is about. I know how it came to be. I know that we started it. And I know the rules of the Sabbath. So don't go telling me that I can't heal somebody on the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. But a religious spirit, you won't care about the person. You won't care about the miracle of God or the healing. You're all wrapped up in how it's being done and when it's going to be done. And this is it, and the book says. You're all wrapped up in that. It's like this morning, for example. And I didn't intend this morning when I came in here that we were going to pray for the sick or we were going to pray and have a breakthrough for people's lives, that God would begin to do these things for you. That was not on my personal little notes or agenda. We were in here and felt impressed and want to keep in step with the Spirit. We're going to do something. We did it a little different this morning. Well, the way that it happened this morning is not the way that we always do it. But it could have bothered some people in here how we did it. That's not how you do the healing part. You don't have people stand up and then you walk around and shout. You don't do it that way. You didn't even have music for over half of it, so you know there can't be any anointing. Now, I'm having a little fun with you, but there's something here this morning that could have agitated some people or irritated them, bothered them. That's not how we do it. That's not how it's written in the Assembly of God book, I'm sure. You know, and this is not about an arrogance on my part at all, because we want to keep in step with the Spirit. But, you know, if you don't like the way that I just led that or did that this morning, how do you do it at the church you pastor? I mean, I'm not the Lord of the church here. Jesus is the head. Don't get me wrong. But if you don't like it, then listen. Go pastor a church. You can go do it how you want. You can do it better. This morning, that's just how we did it. And frankly, I wasn't thinking, hey, let's do it this way. Let's impress a lot of people. Listen, when we're doing that, it ain't about you. I'm sorry. It's about him and us getting in touch with him. But you know, there's people here that could have got upset the way we did it this morning. That was too rambunctious. That's too loud. There's no need to shout like that. God's not deaf. You call for the deacons, you give them some oil, and you play hymn number so-and-so, and people come up and wait in line. And that's the way you do it, because that's holy. Listen, I'm sorry if it was done this morning and it agitated and irritated you. That was not the point of that. And sometimes we call the deacons, and in fact, most of the time we do. We just felt to do it different today. just felt to jump in and do it different. Not for the sake of being different, just that's kind of how I've just felt to do that. You can argue with me. You can tell me I was out of step with the Spirit. Hey, listen, I'll listen to you. You can correct me. You know what? If it's going to be real long, write me a letter. Okay? I'll get around to it. If we get wrapped up in how things have been done, because that's kind of the law. That's the way it's always been. We start to make judgments. And what happens is we miss the point in the moment of, you know what, we're wrapped up in all this. But the fact of the matter is, a man with a shriveled hand went home. He went home and his hand worked again. And it was a normal size and it functioned. And he could use it. You know what? He could start to work a job again and help contribute to his home and his family and society. Oh, come on. He got to go home and tell his family, look. I mean, listen. He went home and they said, I recognize your face. And I know your clothes. But you got two good hands. What happened? Let me tell you. Oh, you can't do that on the Sabbath. We get wrapped up in things and we make judgmental things. We test God. He's the Lord of healing. And you know, the interesting thing is Jesus' method of healing, it seemed to change a lot. He didn't spit in the dirt and make mud and slap it on every blind person's eyes. And I would think that the rest of them were kind of glad about that. He didn't tell all of them to go wash in the pool. He didn't do it. It changed. We got to keep in step with God's Spirit. The principles and his holiness and the character and his law, that none of that changes. It doesn't change. But the way God administers and ministers, that changes. And let me tell you why I'm glad that it changes. It's not even for the boring factor. It's just that we tend to right away gravitate to the way something's been done. As if the method is holy. Or the rule of the group is holy. When it's not his directive. It wasn't a law. It wasn't a law that God made. Maybe it was a constitution and bylaw that people made. Kind of like rules of membership at a church. Well, if you want to be a member of the church, you can't drink alcohol, can't smoke, can't chew, can't go with girls, that whole thing. And we listed things in the past, but the list was not sufficient because it didn't really include, like, you can't gossip or you can't slander. Or you can't have, you can't be a liar. Or you can't be filled with deceit. Or you can't steal. Or you can't, the membership thing would be this, be that thick. Do they profess Christ as their Savior? Yes. Do they honor God in their tithe? Yes. Well, beyond that, hopefully they're pursuing the Lord and the fruit is there. And if so, then I guess they can be a member at New Life, Assembly of God. It might blow some of your minds, but there's some people who are saved who still struggle with smoking. Just like there's some people who think they're saved, but they're not because they still gossip and bring division. You want to tick God off? You do that. Boy, it got quiet again. You know, it's interesting when you think about people who God saves, but churches won't allow them to be members. Or people who have, you know, somehow some miraculous insight of who should be a member or who shouldn't be a member. And yet they've never sat with them and talked with them in a moment where they were expressing their faith. Never had that opportunity, and yet you make a call on whether a person should be a member or not be a member. I mean, how religious of a spirit can you get? The religious people, they end up walking away. Luke chapter 6, they end up walking away, and it says they were furious. The teachers of the law, the experts, they walked away furious. Now they're so wrapped up in their anger, so wrapped up in that they miss what God is doing and who God is. They're so wrapped up in themselves and their thoughts. They walked out furious and they began to make a plan on what they could do to Jesus to take him off the scene. I mean, you want to talk about lost? That's lost, lost. I mean, that's being lost on purpose. Because there's some people who are lost. They're just not lost on purpose. They're just lost. Sin and life and, you know, they just need God to find them and they need to respond to God. But then there are those who are lost who say, I don't like you. I like me and I know what's going on and I like to call the shots. And after all, God approves of me and I'm going to go do it my way. That's lost on purpose. They're violating God's character. They put God to the test. I want to make the last couple comments, and I had not gone to all the scripture verses. I was going to use Luke 5 where there's a crowd and they rip the roof off and drop the guy down. Know that one? And then he says, your sins are forgiven. Oh, that set the religious folks just upside down. I mean, healing was enough because none of the religious leaders ever healed anybody. So they were already jealous of Jesus. Their laws never healed anybody. But when Jesus said to the guy who's laying on the mat and couldn't walk or anything to bring his healing about, he says to him, your sins are forgiven. I mean, the religious community, nobody can forgive sins except God. You're a heretic. You're the, you know, he is God. Oh, they came unglued. They were so full of vengeance. I mean, they got mad at Jesus for walking with his disciples through a grain field, a wheat field, and doing this and eating grain on the Sabbath. Hey, they were hungry. They had to be real hungry. And Jesus says to me, hey, you religious leaders, you have questions about this. Hey, don't you remember King David? He took his men into the holy place and got out the sacred bread that only priests should be eating and fed it to his guys because they were hungry. And you're getting ticked off because on the Sabbath we walked through a wheat field, went like this because we were hungry and ate the heads? You know, religious people get very irritated. And I think what partly irritates them, if we understand the scripture right, is they actually have a measure of embarrassment because they feel like they're being showed up in their way, the philosophy or the way they do ministry, and they get real threatened, real bothered. They get exposed to themselves. Because what happens is we begin to discover that the measure of ministry that we've been involved in maybe really hasn't been, get this, hasn't really been modeling who Jesus really is. I mean, we slap his name on it and there's some characteristics of it, but it's not really displaying who Jesus really is or what he really said. It's just kind of slapping Jesus' name on it and kind of sharing, you know, our thoughts and our opinions and glorifying it up to the point that we think it's scripture. And it embarrassed them. Because Jesus just came in the Spirit of the Lord to reveal who the Father is, and he came to seek and save those who were lost. I mean, he went under criticism because after some of these events I've talked about, he went to Levi, the tax collector, and went to the big party that Levi, the tax collector, was throwing. And, of course, Levi invited a bunch of his fellow tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus went and ate with them. Oh, and the religious community. Why is your teacher going to eat with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus said, simple. I came to seek and save those who were lost, and those who are sick need a physician. He was basically saying, you guys don't think you're sick, so you don't want any help. And you keep proving it over and over. So you know what? I'm going to go over here. Build my church. Because there's only room for one high and mighty. And it's him. Is it possible that we test the Lord? We get caught up in us. Our opinions. And then when God moves and does something, it irritates us. It irritates us. These are the wrong ones. Oh, you're still here. We want the Spirit of the Lord to move in our lives personally and as a church family and in our community. We got to keep in step with him. We got to allow God to be God. We've got to glorify his name. We've got to adhere to his word. And we got to keep in step with the Spirit and how he wants to minister to people. And how he ministers to people, the method sometimes changes. Listen, you can't just go up to everybody and all of a sudden just hit them real frank with the gospel. But there are some people you can because that's who they are. Other people, you got to walk with them through life for a while and let them see and taste and hear and bring them to a point where they say, ah, I'm ready to hear about the gospel. Let him choose how he wants to do it. The point is that he does it. Right? So let's watch. Let's watch our attitude. Is it possible that we test the Lord in a way that we shouldn't? It's interesting that we test the Lord in areas we shouldn't, but we don't test him in the one area he invites us to.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.